Today we'll be discussing a fascinating halachic topic, and that is called Lo B'Shamayim Hi, which means the Torah is not in heaven. This is where the poskim discuss the concept of, can a prophet make halachic rulings based on prophecy? Can someone make halachic rulings based on the dreams that he saw? How does Eliyahu HaNavi affect halacha? How does someone who was speaking to a malach, could a malach tell us halachas? And that whole discussion. Before we begin, this should not be relied upon for halachic psak, and a rav should always be consulted. So the Gemara in Temura, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, introduces us to this concept. The Gemara tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, Klal Yisrael was very, very sad. And when they were mourning Moshe, the Gemara says, Shloishes Alafim Halachais Nishtachu B'mei Evloi Shel Moshe. Due to the sadness, the overwhelming sadness that Klal Yisrael had over the loss of Moshe, they forgot 3,000 halachas. This is obviously very upsetting to them. And the Gemara says, Amar Lo Li Yeshua Shal. They told Yeshua, ask Hashem for the halachas. We don't remember them anymore, so ask heaven. So Amar Lo Lo B'Shamayim Hi. The answer that Yeshua was given is that the Torah is not in heaven. Meaning, Hashem was telling Yehoshua, I can't tell you the halachas anymore. That's not how this works. We have the Torah down here. We have to learn. We have to understand halacha. Hashem cannot give us halachas. That's what the Gemara tells us. And this is brought down by the Rambam in many other cases, as we'll discuss. This is the source, the concept of Lo B'Shamayim Hi. We know there's other famous Gemara in Bava Metzia that we'll discuss, which is there was a machlokas between Rav Elazar and the Rabbanon. And there was a whole machlokas about Tumah and Tahara. And the Gemara says that Rav Elazar told the Rabbanon, if I'm right, let the tree move. And the tree moved. And he said, if I'm right, a heavenly voice should come forth. And he kept on bringing signs, ultra, phenomenal signs that he's correct in halacha, and yet we still don't rule that way, because the concept is Lo B'Shamayim Hi. It doesn't matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us when it comes to halacha, we have to go with our Mesorah, and that's all that matters. That's the concept. We'll have to discuss exactly the parameters and why this is and how this works. So, on the other hand, though, there is an issue, because there are many times where we have, we'll see Rav Yaakov Hillel writes that Rav Chaim Vital used to say that the entire Sefer, all the Sfarim of the Arizal, all the halachas that the Arizal got, he was taught by Eliyahu HaNavi. There's also a concept called Teku, the Gemara says. Teku, which means Tishbi Yitariyetz Kushiyas Ubayos, which means that the Gemara is saying that anytime we don't know the answer, we wait for Eliyahu HaNavi, because he'll tell us. Which means that we're relying on his halachas. We're relying on halachas from the angel Eliyahu. Another concept is, there was a famous, one of the famous Rishonim, he wrote an unbelievable sefer called Shuvas Min HaShemayim. And you can buy this in farm stores. And that is, his name was Rav Yaakov, and he's brought down by the Ben Ish Chai, he's brought down by the Chida a lot, Rav Adi Yosef has a very lengthy tshuva of whether you could rely on this sefer. This sefer was every night before he would go to sleep, he would write down a question, and he would ask the heavenly court what the halacha was. And the heavenly court in Shemayim would give him an answer. And he wrote a whole sefer based on these rulings. So do we listen to the heaven when it comes to halacha, or do we not? So clearly, there's a little bit of a problem here. Sometimes we have points where we listen, and sometimes we say we don't listen. So how does this all work? So let's begin. The Rambam, in Perek Tes, Hilchos Yesodi HaTorah, Halacha Aleph, tells us that we know that every mitzvah in the Torah is infinite, and it's constant from the beginning of time to the end of time. There's no mitzvah in the Torah that doesn't apply anymore. We don't have it that, you don't have to keep Shabbos anymore. It doesn't apply. That was back then. Today it's different. There's no such thing. If a mitzvah in the Torah, it's lo sosif alav lo sigur mimenu. Shekol divrei Torah mitzuvin anu lasosan ad olam. All the mitzvahs in the Torah are infinite. And says the Rambam, if a prophet were to come and use signs and use miracles to show that he's a real prophet, and he says that Hashem told him that one of the mitzvahs don't apply anymore, we kill that person because he's a false prophet. Because there's no way Hashem would actually tamper with what the Torah is. That's what the Rambam paskins. And the Rambam says in Halacha Dalet even more than that. If let's say we have a machlokas between two big Rabbanon, two Tanoim, and a prophet comes and says that Hashem told him the halacha follows one person over the other, he's also a false prophet, and we also kill him. And the Kesef Mishnah explains, even if he was saying the truth, Meaning, there's a machlokas, let's say, between the rabbis and Rav Yehuda. And a prophet, a person comes and says, Hashem told me a prophecy that we follow the opinion of the Rabbanon. We kill that person. Even though it's true that we follow the opinion of the Rabbanon, because he's still a false prophet. Because there's no way Hashem would intercede and get himself in the middle of our halachic discussions. Hashem doesn't do that. That's what the Rambam says. And that's how we rule. The question is why? What's the problem? Well, you know, the whole point of halacha is to understand the Ratzon Hashem, to understand the will and what Hashem really wants from us. If we can find out what Hashem wants through prophecy, isn't that great? Isn't that what we want? Isn't that like the easy way? Isn't that like a cheating shortcut? Isn't that amazing? So what's the problem? So the Ktzos HaChoshen in his Akdama to his Sefer deals with this at length, and he explains by quoting a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara in Bam Metzia says like this. There was a machlokas in Shemayim. It was about a complicated concept in Tahara and Tumah of purity and impurity when it comes to a Metzora, someone who has Tzaras. They translate it as leprosy today. It's not really leprosy, but that concept. It was a big machlokas. And the Gemara says that there was a machlokas in the heavenly court as to a halachic shiloh. They had a shiloh, and there was a machlokas. Hashem said one thing. Hashem said Tahar. And his heavenly court said Tameh. Which is, right off the bat, very odd how you could have a machlokas, how Hashem, how anyone can argue on Hashem. But that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says what they decided to do is they were going to call Rabba Bar Nachmeni, because Rabba Bar Nachmeni was the expert in this topic. And he'll decide. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says that that's actually what happened. There's a whole discussion, the whole Gemara, I'm not going into right now. So the Ran in Drashas, one of the great Rishonim asks, what is going on over here? First of all, how could there be an argument between Hashem and anyone else? Right off the bat. Second of all, what does Rabbi Bar Nachmeni's opinion matter? If there's an argument, then why would, if Hashem's willing to argue with his heavenly court, why would he care that Rabbi Bar Nachmeni disagrees with him? And then at the end of the Gemara it says that Rabbi Bar Nachmeni disagreed with Hashem, and we follow Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. So what's going on? What's going on over here? So it says the Ran, an unbelievable yesod, and that is that when Hashem gave us the Torah, it wasn't just lending us the Torah, He was giving it to us. This was an unbelievable gift. This was Hashem's gift. He was giving His cherished possession, His most beloved gift in the entire universe, and that is the Torah, and He was giving it to us. And we're in charge of how to rule. We read it the way we read it, and that affects halacha. Therefore, what Hashem in His Ratzon, Hashem's infinite Ratzon is that the Torah is down here and it's ours. And He does not want other people or other prophecy and other angels to affect that halachic Mesorah. Therefore, the depth of that Gemara is the following. Hashem said in this halachic ruling and that it's tahar, it's pure. His heavenly court was disagreeing. How could His heavenly court disagree with Hashem? How does that even make sense? Whatever Hashem says is correct. The answer is the heavenly court was saying to Hashem, although you're right, but down on earth, that's not how they rule. And because that's not how they rule, the halachic does not follow what you're saying, which is an unbelievable thing. And therefore, the Gemara says, you know who's going to really decide? Rabba Bar Nachmeni, meaning people. People are going to decide the halachic process. Even though Rabba Bar Nachmeni was paskening against Hashem, still we follow Rabba Bar Nachmeni. And he explains, the Ran explains that even though that means, if you think about it, that Rabba Bar Nachmeni was incorrect. Because if Hashem says one thing and we say a different thing, that means that on a certain level, Hashem was saying the real answer, and I guess either we made a mistake or based on our understanding, that's how he paskened. But you know what? That's what Hashem wanted. And he says a similar thing with the Gemara in Bam Metzia, that Rav Elazar was showing all the signs of Shemayim, that the walls were crumbling and the trees were moving and heavenly voices were coming forth. And you know what the Rabbanan said? Quiet to the heavenly voice. We don't care. Even if technically when we go up to Shemayim, are we right or wrong? It's irrelevant. Because the way the Torah works down here is that it's our Torah. And we get in charge. And that's why Hashem said, Lo b'shamayim hi. I don't want prophets to come down and tamper. Because that's not Hashem's ratzon. That wasn't Hashem's infinite will. When Hashem gave us the Torah, His infinite will is that it was our Torah and our Torah only. And he explains also, the Ran continues, that that's why there's a famous medrash that when Hashem wanted to give Moshe the Torah, the angels wanted to kill him. The angels didn't want to let it. So the question is, why? Who cares? Why do the angels care so much? The answer is because the depth of what we're saying, when we say, Asher baruch habanim kolam enasan lanu es taraso, that Hashem gave us the Torah, He gave us the Torah. And it's our halachic process, and the way we paskin affects the reality of the Torah. And that's, by the way, obviously a big responsibility, but that's why the angels didn't want to give it to us. The angels said, how could you give the Torah and all of its secrets and all of its meaning to people? But Hashem said, that's my ratzon, that's what I want. So that's why, so the Ran explains the reason why there's a ruling of Loba Shamayimi, which means that halachic rulings are unaffected, it's down here, and prophets, and dreams, and all these things will deal with the details, but all these things really have no room for halachic ruling. It's because that's the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem wanted it, that the Torah will be our Torah, and it will be unaffected by any other elements. The Chasam Sofer in Orach Chaim Siman Reish Ches actually adds a deeper meaning to this. Why was it Ratzon Hashem? Why is it so important that a prophet can't come and help us out when it comes to halacha? So the Ran says, because that's the Ratzon Hashem, that's what Hashem wants. But why was it so important? So the Chasam Sofer says, you know why? It's not just that was the Ratzon Hashem, that's what Hashem wanted. The only way for the Torah to exist, the only way for the Torah to be able to be everlasting was for this ruling. Let me explain. Says the Chasam Sofer, unfortunately throughout history we've had false prophets. We've had Shabtai Tzvi, we've had Yashka, we've had Muhammad, we've had people that have come and claimed to have received prophecy that would change halacha for the worse. So says the Chasam Sofer, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to allow any tampering from prophets, even if the prophets are telling the truth, because if you set such a precedent, if there's such a concept that a halachic ruling could be affected by what a prophet says, then chas v'shalom, a false prophet comes and he says, you know what, I heard a halachic ruling that you don't have to keep Shabbos anymore, and people are going to listen. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to set the precedent that, you know what, when it comes to halacha, there's the Torah down here, and that's it. Because if I start allowing prophets and heavenly voices and dreams and all these things to start affecting halacha, then unfortunately people will come and they say that I heard a dream that you don't have to keep Shabbos anymore. False people, evil is going to come to the world and it'll start tampering things. And therefore, to shut it all down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, you know what? The Torah down here, that's all that matters. That's the basic understanding. That's the background. Now let's get to the details. So the first discussion that the poskim have is Moshe Rabbeinu. Did Moshe Rabbeinu have to adhere to this ruling? There's a Gemara in Yuma, Ayin Hayamid Aleph. The Gemara says that when people came in front of a Moshe Rabbeinu for a halachic ruling, the case was you have a woman who divorced a man, and then 2 months later married another man, and then she had a child. And the question is this child really the first husband and it's a 9-month term, meaning she married and then 7 months later she had a baby? So the question was, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the father? Either she's the father, really the first person's the father and it's a 9-month baby, or maybe it's the second father, the second person the father, even though they've only been married 7 months and it's a preemie. That was the question they asked Moshe. And by the way, this is why generally halacha, there's a concept that you're supposed to wait 3 months after getting divorced before you remarry. But they didn't in that case. So you had a 2-month separation between husbands, and then he had a baby after 7 months. So you don't know, is it a 7-month baby and it's the second husband, or is it a 9-month baby and it's the first husband? So that's what they didn't know. So Moshe Rabbeinu would tell them, tomorrow morning. By the way, the Gemara also says a similar case, a similar Shaila, which is, you have a servant, and there's an argument as to who owns the servant. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, and Ayin Hamid Aleph, Ibn Tish L'Rishon, Ibn Shiv L'Achron. The first case was, we have with the babies, if it's a 7th month or a 9th month, or you have the second issue was, you have a servant, and there are two people who claim to be the owners. One person says, you sold it to me, the other person says, you stole them. Okay, again, it's a similar question. We have the problem of identity. So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu would tell them, tomorrow morning, go outside, and whoever has a double portion of man, they're the rightful owner. So you have a case of two people fighting over who's the owner of the servants. The Gemara says, tomorrow morning, whoever has the double portion of man, you're the owner. That's what the Gemara says. So the Sefer Kappos Tamarim asks a very simple question. How could you make a halachic ruling based on the man? The man is sort of like a prophet. You're asking Hashem to send more man. That's a phenomenon. That's not in this world. That's not a normal occurrence. And you're basing a halachic ruling on that. What about the fact of lo b'shamayimi? That's the question of the Kappos Tamarim. So the Torah Tamima and Parshas Bechukosai, Sifkot and Reish Tazayin, brings down this question. And the answer is very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu was above us. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only person in history that, you know what? He could make halachic rulings based on prophecy. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person who created the Masorah. Moshe Kibbol Torah Mesinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was above this. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to paskin based on dreams, based on prophecy, based on where the man popped up. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to. That's an special exception to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chassam Sofer also rules this way, and the Chassam Sofer explains that based on what I said before, it works out well. What was the Chassam Sofer's opinion? The Chassam Sofer explained that the reason why you can't have halachic rulings based on prophecy, in general, of Lo B'Shamayim Hi, is because if we allow this precedent, if we allow someone to make halachic rulings based on what he heard in a dream, let's say, or based on what he heard from Hashem, even if he's telling the truth, then eventually it could lead to bad things, and it could lead to someone making halachic rulings based on false prophecy, and it could have, you could have Shabsai Tzvi, you know, distorting the Masorah. Says the Chassam Sofer, this concern never applied to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the creator of the Masorah. No one's going to claim because Moshe Rabbeinu made a halachic ruling based on prophecy, then it's going to lead to someone else. That Moshe Rabbeinu is the creator of the Masorah. There's no concern of a distortion of the Masorah if Moshe Rabbeinu is the one involved. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed. The Chida also writes this, Rav Avadi Yosef in Yabia Omer Chelag Aleph or Rechaim Simen Mem Aleph has a very lengthy tshuva where he discusses all these topics, and he quotes from the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh writes it clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu paskined, he made halachic rulings based on Ruach HaKodesh, based on prophecy. So clearly Moshe Rabbeinu was beyond. That's the first halachic shaila. Now the second shaila. The second shaila that the post can deal with is, we know that you're not allowed to make halachic rulings based on prophecy, but what about having Hashem, through prophecy, remind you of halachas that you forgot? Meaning, you forgot what bracha to make on an apple. So obviously, originally, when you originally had the shaila of what bracha to make on an apple, you couldn't ask Hashem. You can't ask prophecy. Prophecy doesn't work that way. We have to work with our halachic process down here. We can't turn to Hashem. Fine. But what if we already knew the halachic ruling and we just forgot? Can I ask a prophet to remind me of the halacha through prophecy? So you'd say, why not? Because of the Gemara Tzmura that I quoted originally. The Gemara Tzmura said that when, just to remind you, that when Klal Yisrael lost Moshe Rabbeinu, due to the sadness of the mourning, they forgot 3,000 halachas. And when Yehoshua asked Hashem, please remind me those halachas, Hashem said, I cannot. That's not how halachic rulings work. I cannot help you. It's in Shemayim. I can't tell you halachic rulings based on Shemayim. Even though these are halachas that we already knew. But we clearly see from this Gemara that to remind you of a halachic ruling is also a problem. Fine. That's pretty simple. There's an issue with this, and that's the Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara and Megillah and Daf Beis and Mebeis to Daf Gimel and Aleph tells us that there are five letters that are called Menatz Pach. And they're what we call end letters, meaning Mem Sofit, and Nun Sofit, and Tzadi Sofit. There are five letters that they're regular Mem, and then there's Mem at the end of the word. So the Gemara tells us that those five letters, Tzofim Amrum, they were created by prophets. Prophets were the ones who created these five additional letters. The Gemara says, how could you say that? I thought prophets can't affect this. Lo b'shamayim hi. Prophets can't create halachas. Then the Gemara says at the end, you know what, you're right. Ela shichicham v'chazur v'yizdam. You know what the answer is? Really, we had a Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu about these five letters, but we forgot about them. We forgot what those letters were, and the prophets just reminded of those five letters. So because they just reminded us of it, it's okay. So that's a problem. The Gemara in Temura says clearly that a prophet is not allowed to use his prophecy to remind you of a halacha that you forgot, but the Gemara in Megillah seems to imply that a prophet is allowed to use prophecy to remind you of the halacha that he forgot. And that's a problem. And many, many Mefarshim are bothered by this question. the Torah Tamima, and other Mefarshim explain very simple, and that is that when the Gemara, really a prophet is not allowed to use prophecy at all, even if it's just to remind you of halachas, as is evident from the story of Yoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu. What about the fact that the Gemara Megillah seems to imply that the prophets reminded us about the Mem Sofit and the Nun Sofit and all those letters? Explains over there, the Torah Tamima, when it says the prophets reminded us, but not through prophecy. When it says the prophets reminded us, it's a little misleading. It doesn't mean that prophets use prophecy to remind us. It means the prophets learn Torah. Listen, there are two ways to come out from a halacha. You could either use it the way we learn down here with Gezeira Shava, Kal V'Chomer, Svara. You can go through the halachic process that we have down here, which is the Rabbanan get together and they learn Gemara and they deduce things and they have questions. That's the regular process. And then there's a second process, which is what we're discussing today, which is just prophecy, which is just Hashem tells us the halacha. Says all those, said the Mefarshim, the Torah Tamim and other Mefarshim, when the Gemara says that the prophets told us about the five letters, it doesn't mean that the prophets told us this through prophecy. It means the prophets went to Beis Medrash and they learned Gemara and they deduced that there are these five letters and they deduced that those five letters should be used at the end of words. So therefore when it says Tzofim Amrim, that the prophets told us this, it was a little misleading because although they were prophets, they were also rabbis. And they deduced this halacha through regular halachic process, not through prophecy. That's the way most mefarshim. There is a problem with this, and that's Rashi. Rashi says in Sukkah, Daf Mem Dalid, that when it says the prophets reminded us of halacha, al pi hadibur, says Rashi, which means through the Hashem spoken word, which means through prophecy. So it's a problem. So I want to explain Rashi with a very interesting halachic ruling that Rav Yaakov Hillel Shlita deals with at length. And that is, the Sefer Yefas Toyar is bothered by this question. Again, I just want to make this question clear. And that is, we know that a prophet is not allowed to use prophecy at all for halachic rulings, even just to remind you of halacha that you forgot. The problem is Rashi says that prophets reminded us of halachos al pi hadibur, through Hashem's spoken word, which sounds like through prophecy. Says the Sefer Yefas Toar, it doesn't mean through prophecy, it means through Ruach HaKodesh. And Ruach HaKodesh is allowed. So, let's explain. What is Ruach HaKodesh? What does it mean, Ruach HaKodesh, and why is Ruach HaKodesh allowed? So the way Rav Yaakov Hillel explains, Ruach HaKodesh is similar to prophecy, but there's a slight variation. Ruach HaKodesh, the way Rav Yaakov Hillel explains it, Rav Yaakov Hillel, if you don't know, is a very big mekubal, and he's a very big Talmid Chacham, and he wrote a whole treatise on these topics. It's called Faith and Folly. They translated to English called Faith and Folly, and it's in Shuvas Vayeshev Hayam. So Rav Yaakov Hillel deals with this, and he explains that Ruach HaKodesh is very misleading of what people use. And people say Ruach HaKodesh a lot. Ruach HaKodesh means someone knowing something that there's no way for them to know. There's no way that on a regular human process they could have known that. That's Ruach HaKodesh. It's Hashem opening up your mind to something that's just not possible for a human to attain without Hashem helping. It's like Siyata Dishmaya to a next level. That's Ruach HaKodesh. Like Ruach HaKodesh, says Rav Yaakov Hillel, is if a Talmud Chacham is learning Gemara and he's bothered by this question and just the answer comes to him. Not an answer that he could have ever figured out. That's Ruach HaKodesh. So explains Rav Yaakov Hillel, Ruach HaKodesh, you're allowed to use Ruach HaKodesh for halacha, meaning what the Yefas Torah is telling us is that when Rashi says that the prophets made halacha api hadibur, through Hashem's spoken word, it doesn't mean through prophecy. Through prophecy is not allowed. It means through Ruach HaKodesh. What's the difference? The difference is very simple. The Derech Hashem writes that most prophecy occurred when the prophet was unconscious. The greatest exception was Moshe Rabbeinu, but the average prophet had prophecy when he was unconscious, meaning he had like epileptic seizures. He wasn't just walking down the street and Hashem spoke to him. The process of having prophecy, of connecting to Hashem on that level, is so powerful that the body can't the body can't stand it when it's conscious, and therefore the body usually comes unconscious, and that's when prophecy occurs. Ruach HaKodesh is different, says Rav Yaakov Hillel. He says over here, La'anias daiti levar hadvarim yoseh b'siyata d'shmaya. Rav Yaakov Hillel says, let me explain. Vuhu, and the answer is, ki hachilik bein nevuah l'ruach HaKodesh, the difference between prophecy, which is a problem to make halachic rulings, and Ruach HaKodesh, which is allowed, ki nevuah inay babi hislabshus Torah. Prophecy does not come through Torah learning, through Torah process. V'l'ruach HaKodesh darkoi lovoi b'hislabshus Torah. Ruach HaKodesh, they're both things that are, they're both prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh are concepts where a person is getting knowledge from Hashem's help, not through normal human procedure. That's true, but the difference is, Dehainu ki aidei echa me'ofanei Ruach HaKodesh, through one of the ways of Ruach HaKodesh, misgadel hasagas ha'adam be'is heyosa alosa betorah. Says Rav Yaakov Hillel, Ruach HaKodesh happens while someone's learning. While someone's learning, Hashem will open up his mind and he'll understand something that there's no way he could have understood. Prophecy doesn't happen through learning. Prophecy doesn't happen while you're learning. Prophecy just happens, stam, you're in the kitchen, and the prophet will just fall down and he'll unconscious and he'll hear a prophecy. So says Rav Yaakov Hillel, because Ruach HaKodesh comes while you're learning, it comes through the learning process, it's not a problem. Because that's, what's the concept of Loba Shemayim? Loba Shemayim means Hashem doesn't want halachic rulings to happen from heaven. He wants it through Torah. So says Rav Yaakov Hillel, Ruach HaKodesh also comes through Torah. That's one of the concepts of learning Torah, that if you're a big tzaddik and you're learning Torah, Hashem will open up your mind and you'll understand things that you couldn't understand before. Therefore, that's also called learning Torah. That's an aspect of learning Torah. And therefore, if a rabbi has a halachic ruling through Ruach HaKodesh, it's not a problem of Loba Shemayim. Loba Shemayim means that there's a halachic ruling from out of this world. It's through prophecy. It's not in this world. It's out of this world. Ruach HaKodesh happens through learning. And because it happens through learning, it's not a problem. That's what Rav Yaakov Hillel explains. And therefore he explains, that's why we could have the Sefer of the Ari HaKodesh. The Ari HaKodesh, Rav Chaim Vital explains, is mostly written through teachings that he heard from Eliyahu Hanavi. Or you'll have a Sefer, we have a Sefer called Magid Meisharim, which is where the Shulchan Aruch, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, would have a Chavrusa, would learn with an angel. And the angel would tell him stuff, and he would write it down. So how does that work? How does that work in Halacha? How could we listen to an angel? He's out of heaven. That's not in this world. That's Loba Shemayimi. So says Rav Yaakov Hillel, because that's called Ruach HaKodesh. It happened while they were learning. The Arizal would sit down to learn, and Eliyahu Navi would talk to him while he was learning. So because it happened through the learning process, it's not a contradiction of Loba Shemayimi. It's not a contradiction of learning Torah. That's the opinion of Yaakov Hillel. And therefore he explains, if a person hears a prophecy, not a prophecy, but if he has Ruach HaKodesh, or if he learns with Eliyahu, or if he learns with an angel, it's not a problem. That's not an issue with a contradiction to the halachic process. That's not called Loba Shemayim. Loba Shemayim is if you have knowledge outside of this world. But if you have knowledge through Torah, through Ruach HaKodesh, it's not a problem. That's the opinion of Rav Yaakov Hillel, and that's the opinion of the Sefer Yefas Torah. Okay, next discussion, and that's this Sefer Tshuvas Min HaShemayim. Tshuvas Min HaShemayim is very, very interesting. As I said, you have it in Sfarim stores. There's a very big discussion amongst the Chidah and Shem HaGedolim as to whether you can rely on this Sefer. Again, what the Sefer is, you had one of the Rabbanon, one of the great Rishonim of Yaakov Mitaryush, that he would, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but one of the great Rishonim, and then he would write down his questions before he would go to sleep. And then while he was sleeping, he would talk to the heavenly court, the Beis Din Shalmala, and they would give him the answer. And he would write it down in the morning. And we have a whole sefer of all the answers. I always thought one of the most fascinating questions, I think is the second or third question, is we know that there are two types of tefillin. There's Rashi, tefillin shal Rashi, and tefillin shal Rabbeinu Tam. Some people wear both. Most people, everyone wears Rashi, but some people also wear Rabbeinu Tam. It has to do with the order of the parshios inside the tefillin. So I think the third or fourth question, this Rav Yaakov, in Shemayim, he went to the heavenly court and he asked them, who's correct? You know, you guys know the answer, tell us the scoop. Who's really correct? Is Rashi correct in his order of tefillin? Or is Rabbeinu Tam correct in his order of tefillin? So the answer is unbelievable. The answer is the same way there's a machlokas down here of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, there's a machlokas in Shemayim too. There's a machlokas between the heavenly court, which follows Rashi, and Hashem, who follows Rabbeinu Tam. And you know what the answer? The halacha is like the Beis Din Shamala, which is Rashi. So, by the way, first of all, now we can understand that a little bit more. The reason why the halachic ruling follows the Beis Din Shamala and not Hashem is because the Beis Din Shamala is in agreement with what we passing down here, which is Rashi. But that's the concept that we said before. But it's a fascinating sefer, and it's you can buy it in farm stores. And there was a big halachic debate amongst the mefarshim as to whether you could rely on it for halachic rulings, because again, it's halachos that were heard while he was sleeping. It was heard in dreams. So what's the can you rely on it? I saw that the Ben Ish Chai already in Parshas Noach quotes it when it comes to halachic rulings, and the Ben Ish Chai, I think, was in favor. And there's a question amongst the Chidah, Rav Avadya Yosef, is a very lengthy discussion. So what's the halacha? So Rav Avadya wants to say that there's a very big difference. I don't think Rav Avadya la halacha paskins like the Truvis Min HaShemayim. I saw that Rav Yitzchok Yosef Shlita, the Rishon Lotzion, in one of his, he wrote rulings that he heard from his father. And in there, I believe, he writes that his father did not follow the opinion of Truvis Min HaShemayim. But he's explaining why there were Rabbanim who did. So Rav Avadya explains, he says the following. Nirla Fianias Daiti, I want to explain, she is Chilak Godel, Bein Misnave B'Shem Hashem Derech Nevuah, that there's a very big difference between someone who makes prophecy through a Nevuah, and when you're learning Torah through prophecy, that's when you're not allowed to make halachic rulings, as opposed to when you hear halachic rulings through a dream. Meaning that when someone has halachic rulings in a dream, like the Sefer Truvis Min HaShemayim, it's not a problem. Why? Explains Rav Avadya. This is very interesting. The issue with Loba Shemayim here, the issue with following, with having halacha in prophecy, Why was Hashem so against it? Because when a prophet hears a halachic ruling, he has to listen to it. It means something. So therefore we say Hashem did not want to interfere. Hashem didn't want to interfere with our process by giving prophecy, because prophecy is a big deal. And if a prophet were to come, let's say there was no problem with prophecy and halacha. So what would happen? You'd have a machlokas down here, and a prophet would come, and a prophet would say, oh, Hashem told me this is a halachic ruling. That's what everyone would listen to, because the prophecy is so powerful that everyone's going to listen to it. Explains Rav Avadya, but dreams are not so powerful. Dreams you don't have to listen to. Every dream has a little bit of an aspect that's not so real. It has a little bit of an aspect that there is some fakeness. There is some kishem shem bar velo tevin kach in chalom velo dvarim betalim. Every dream has an aspect of a little foolishness. Not foolishness, but it has aspect of not being true. And therefore, because dreams are not as real as prophecy, Hashem had no problem with sending a halachic ruling through a dream, because he knew you're not necessarily going to listen to it. It's sort of like Hashem has no problem giving you a hint. He doesn't want to tell you what to do, but he has no problem giving you a hint. That's what Rav Avadya says, and that's why historically there was room to listen to a dream. He says over here, there's no problem of listening to halachic rulings in a dream, because the dream doesn't tell you what to do. The dream doesn't tell you what the halachic ruling is. And therefore, it could be dreams are different. I always thought was interesting, this is just a side point, there's a halacha, as we all know, that you have to wait 6 hours between meat and milk. So, that we know, obviously I can't get into it right now, it's brought down in Yoredeya, Peites. Obviously we know you have to wait 6 hours between meat and milk. There was a very interesting opinion brought down by one of the Mefarshim. I don't think we rule this way, but I'll just mention the opinion, but not for halachic ruling, but there was such an opinion that if you took a nap, if you went to sleep, you don't have to wait 6 hours anymore. Meaning, there was such an opinion out there that if you, let's say you ate meat at 5 o'clock, you went to sleep, you wake up at 7:30, 8 o'clock, you could have cheese. You don't have to wait 6 hours, meaning that sleeping stops it. There was such an opinion. So it says that the Chassam Sofer, this is brought down in the Sefer Torah Moshe, the customs of the Chassam Sofer, that it says that the Chassam Sofer originally wanted to do this, that he set up coffee, that he was going to go to sleep for a couple hours, and he was going to have coffee. That was his plan. So he didn't have to wait 6 hours because he was going to do this. He was going to take a nap, go to sleep, and then that would break up the 6 hours, and beautiful. Shalom al Yisrael. The Chassam Sofer didn't sleep 6 hours a night, I can guarantee you that. So he put down a cup of coffee, and he was going to go to sleep, and that way he'll have milk in the morning, and that was the plan. It says, though, that the Chassam Sofer, while he was sleeping or when he woke up, he knocked over the cup of coffee. He took this as a sign from Shemayim. That's what it says. He took this as a sign from Shemayim that this is not the halachic ruling. And therefore, from then on, he said, you know what? Sleeping doesn't break up the 6 hours, and you have to wait 6 hours. That's what it says about the Chassam Sofer. So I saw that some of Farshim, Rav Moshe Sternberg and Chuvas Van Hagos, asked a question. So because the Chassam Sofer knocked over a cup of coffee, that makes a halachic ruling? Like, that's not how this works. The answer is, it's similar to what Rav Avadi is saying. The issue of Lo B'Shamayim here is Hashem won't send us a halachic ruling if it's something that you'll actually listen to. But Hashem can send you something that you may not listen to, because then it's not really interfering with our process. He's giving his opinion. It's sort of like Hashem's giving his opinion. He's saying, listen to me, don't listen to me, whatever you want, I don't care. That's not such an issue. So for him to send a dream with a halachic ruling, because he knows that you're not necessarily going to listen to the dream, therefore it's not the biggest deal. That's what they say. There's such a concept. Fine. The next topic. You know, we're going to go through a lot of topics. Obviously, these are big topics. These are big sugyas, but we'll go through them the best that we can. And that is called Birur HaMetzius. The Maariz Chayis, in his Sefer Torah and Neviim, deals with this question at length. And he's bothered by a very simple issue. And that is, there are many, many Gemaros which says that we're waiting for Eliyahu HaNavi. There are many Gemaras that tell us that the Gemara says we don't know what the halacha is. What if Eliyahu HaNavi would tell us, we'll listen to him. There are many Gemaras like this. And Maariz Chayis is bothered by a very simple question. What about Lo B'Shamayim? We've been dealing with this almost 40 minutes now. We've been talking about this. Clearly, the one thing so far, if you could walk away with one thing, is that there's a problem with ruling based on prophecy and based on the upper world. Olam Haba and Gan Eden, that type of thing. So he's bothered by the simple question. How could Eliyahu HaNavi tell us halachas? So you know what the Maariz Chayis says? The Maariz Chayis tells us that, you know what a prophet is allowed to do? A prophet is not allowed to make halachic rulings based on prophecy. But you know what he could do? If, let's say, you have two rabbis who are arguing, and the argument is because they don't know how things work. Let's say you had two rabbis. I'll give you an example. You have two rabbis arguing about something electric on Shabbos. One rabbi saying it's a problem, one rabbi saying it's not a problem. And it's clear that their argument is based on the fact that they don't understand how the electricity works. Says the Maariz Chayis, for that a prophet can help you. Meaning a prophet can tell you, you know what, the real truth is? The real truth is I know how things work, and now that the prophet tells us how things work, now we can make halachic rulings. As long as the prophet is being mevarer mitzius, he's telling us what actually is going on in reality, what's going on behind closed doors that we don't know about, that a prophet can do. So he says over here, he explains that a lot of times in Gemara, the Rabbanim would say, you're not allowed to eat a certain fish, because they think it's not kosher. Not because they know it's not kosher, because they don't know. So says the Maariz Chayis, that Eliyahu HaNavi can tell us. Eliyahu HaNavi can come and tell us, you know what? What you don't know, I'll tell you what you don't know, and I'll fill you in the information, and then you'll make your halachic rulings. That's not a problem. He says, by the way, he goes back to that original question that we had, what we mentioned it before, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Shiloh come to him, that you have a slave and two owners. One owner says, that's my slave, the guy sold it to me. The other owner says, no, it's my slave, you stole him. So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu would say, tomorrow morning, show up tomorrow morning at your front door, look at your front door. If you have a double portion of man, you're the owner. So the Kapos Tamarim, we mentioned before, the Kapos Tamarim asked, how could you decide halachic rulings based on where the man is? That's ridiculous. That's not how halachic process should be. The answer is, says the Maariz Chayis, over there, the halachic issue It's very simple what the halacha is. If the guy, if he belongs to A, it's A. If he belongs to B, it's B. The reason why there was a halachic shaila, the reason why there was an issue, is because we didn't know what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have eyes, you know, behind closed doors. He didn't see what actually happened. Did the guy steal the slave or did the guy sell the slave? He didn't know. So for that, you could use prophecy. For that, you could use the Mun. Because the Mun is not making halachic rulings out of thin air. It's not like the Mun is coming down and saying, I decide that the bracha on rice should be mizonos. No, that's not what's happening. The Mun is just telling you. The Mun is just, meaning Hashem, and prophecy is just telling you, I know what happened. I know that that slave was actually stolen by that guy, and he belongs to the other guy. So that's not a problem. That's the opinion of the Maariv Chiz. Now, the Maariv Chiz does say, that doesn't mean that you could, that doesn't mean you go so far as to say, let's say you have you have to know if the guy broke Shabbos, you know, see, a prophet comes and he says, you know, I saw, you know, because I'm just explaining what happened, I saw that the guy broke Shabbos. You can't kill the guy based on that, obviously, because there are other rulings involved, but the concept of the Maariv Chiz is that, once again, if Eliyahu HaNavi is coming and telling us, not making halachic rulings, but he's filling us in with information, and then, now that we have all the information, now we can make halachic rulings, that's not a problem. So if he's just being mevarer the metzius, it's not an issue. That's the opinion of the Maariv Chiz. And again, these are big topics, but we'll do our best. And now for the last topic. And I want to summarize this whole thing, and that's, let's talk about Eliyahu HaNavi. We touched on it a little bit here and there. I want to talk about Eliyahu HaNavi. How did Eliyahu HaNavi affect halacha? The Gemara says in many places called Teku, which stands for Tishbi, meaning Eliyahu HaNavi, Yitaretz Kushios Ubayos. Eliyahu HaNavi will come and he'll answer our questions. So we're bothered by the original question. How could Eliyahu HaNavi affect halacha? How does that work? So far we've already had three answers, and I'm going to add a fourth. The three answers that we've had so far is, first of all, if Eliyahu HaNavi is telling us halachas through learning, meaning, as we said before from Rav Yaakov Hillel, Ruach HaKodesh, you're allowed to make halachic rulings based on Ruach HaKodesh. And again, Ruach HaKodesh is halachos that are knowledge that is told through learning, meaning if when Eliyahu HaNavi is coming and telling you, if Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he learns with you and he tells you things, but it's through learning, that's not a problem. So that's maybe the first way, that when it says Eliyahu HaNavi will tell us halachas, first of all, it might be through learning. Two, when it says that Eliyahu HaNavi might come and tell us halachas, maybe it's not from the prophecy part of Eliyahu HaNavi was a big rabbi. Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi, is what we said before from the Torah Tamima, it's possible number two is that when it says Eliyahu HaNavi will explain halachas, maybe it doesn't mean that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to explain halachas through prophecy or things that he heard in Shemayim. Maybe he'll do it through old school, sitting down and sweating. He's a big rabbi, and he'll sit and he'll deduce, and he's a big chacham, and he'll tell us halachas the same way we learn out halachas, through questions, through gemaras, through kalvachomers. That's the second option. It's possible that that's what it means. Not that he's going to tell us halachas through prophecy or anything else. Maybe he's just going to tell us halachas through regular old school learning. The third answer is from the Maariv Chiz, as we just saw, and that maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will actually tell us halachas just by explaining things that we don't know, meaning he'll be mevarer the metzius. He'll tell us stuff that we don't know, meaning not halachic rulings that we don't know. He'll just fill us in information that we don't know. That when we had a question, we didn't know the answer, it was because, let's say, we didn't know how the science was. So Eliyahu HaNavi says, that's how the science is. Or another thing is, we don't know what type of fish this is. We can't look, it's too hard to catch it. Eliyahu HaNavi says, that's the type of fish it is, meaning he'll fill us in information that we don't have. I think there's a fourth, more fundamental answer, and that's from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer in Chelek Vav Siman Tzadi Ches is bothered by a question, and that is, what is the halachic status of Eliyahu HaNavi? What is his deal? Meaning like this, the Gemara, it's clear from a Gemara in Shabbos that Eliyahu HaNavi has to keep Shabbos. There's a whole discussion of whether Mashiach can come on Sunday. This is also Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that there's a discussion of whether Mashiach can come on Sunday, because we know that the day before Mashiach, Eliyahu is going to come. And there's an issue with Eliyahu HaNavi coming on Shabbos. What's the issue with Eliyahu HaNavi coming on Shabbos? It's because he's coming outside of the Tchum. He's coming from heaven. Coming from heaven to earth is a problem. That's breaking Shabbos. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara about that. It's called Tchum in Lamaila. Is there a Tchum Lamaila? Meaning you're not allowed to walk outside of the city. So if Eliyahu HaNavi is coming from heaven, he's clearly coming from outside of the city. So that would be a halachic issue. So we see from that Gemara, however that Gemara means, I'm not getting involved right now, but we see from this Gemara that there is a concept which which tells us that Elio has to keep halacha, which means that he's a person bound to the laws of the Torah. But there's a second issue, and that is, every time there's a bris milah, we know that Elio Navi comes. Right? We have a kisa Elio. The Moel says, Elio Omed al Yemini l'smacheni. Elio comes to every bris milah. Now, he comes to a lot of bris milahs on Shabbos, right? He's flying all over. So why isn't that breaking Shabbos? How does he go from one house, if you have a bris milah in Brooklyn, and you have a bris milah in Chicago, how does he go on Shabbos, how does he go from one place to the next? You can't travel that far on Shabbos. How does that work? So, does Elio have to keep halacha or not? So says the Chassam Sofer, it depends. It depends whether Elio Navi is coming down as a person in human form or not. Meaning, this is unbelievable teaching the Chassam Sofer. If Elio Navi is coming down in human form, meaning as a person with skin and blood, and he's appearing in human form, as is evident in many Gemaras, where Gemara says, I spoke to Elio. There's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, that it says that Rav Yossi ran into Elio, and Elio was talking to him, and they had a whole conversation. He saw him with his eyes. It wasn't prophecy. He saw him. So if Elio Anavi is coming down in human form, then he has to keep halacha, because he has the status of a person. Because Elio is a very odd thing, because he's not really an angel. He started off as a person. So if he comes down in human form, then he has the status of a person. He says over here, "B'yameinu tislabish nishmase b'guf hakodesh." If Elio comes down in a human form, halaz az hu kechol adam mechach min v'Yisrael, then he's a regular person. He's a rabbi. He has to keep Torah. That's why he can't come potentially on Shabbos, because it's coming too far. What about the fact that by bris milah he's flying from Chicago to Brooklyn to LA? How is he doing that on Shabbos from one bris milah to the next? Because over there he's not coming in human form. I've been to a lot of bris milahs. I've never seen Elio before. He's not coming in human form. And when he's not in human form, he has the status of an angel, and he doesn't necessarily have the status of a person. He doesn't necessarily have to keep halacha the way we do. That's the Chassam Sofer's ruling. So according to the Chassam Sofer, it works out beautiful. The Chassam Sofer says, if Elio Anavi is in human form, he has the status of a person. So to answer the question, what was the question? Every time the Gemara says, teku, Elio Anavi is going to explain all the halachas. So we asked, how could Elio Anavi explain halachas? We don't paskin based on angels, he's an angel. The answer is, whoa, he may not be an angel. Maybe when Mashiach comes, and Elio Anavi is going to explain to us all the halachas, maybe he'll come down in human form. And when he's in human form, he's a person. So that's the deeper explanation with Elio, that when Elio Navi comes down in human form, he's not an angel anymore, he's a person, and therefore it won't be halachic issue. So that summarizes, that ends off our discussion. I just want to end it off with one last thing, and that is, I saw an unbelievable teaching. Just, I want to end off with this. The Dan Yitzchak of Dan Yitzchak Abarbanel, the Abarbanel in a Sefer Yeshua's Mashichai, Chelik Sheni, Perik Sheni, just because we talked about Elio so much, I want to mention this teaching of the Abarbanel. I saw this a couple years ago. It was mind-blowing. And this is something that if the Abarbanel probably would say today, he would get in a lot of trouble. Which, you know, it shows you. But the truth is the truth. And this is what the Abarbanel says. It's an unbelievable teaching of the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel's opinion is that every time in Shas, every time in Gemara, where it says that Elio Navi appeared to a person, and Elio Navi spoke to people, it never really happened. It was either a dream or a parable. That's what he says, which is an unbelievable thing. He says that the first approach is that it's a parable, the first approach is that it was a dream. The second approach is that it was a parable. So I thought I mentioned that. Now, to be fair, you have to understand where the Abarbanel's time period was, that Abarbanel was dealing, the whole Sefer of Yeshua's Mashiach is to disagree and to deal with the Christian proofs about Yashka and all that. So he was saying that, because I think they were pointing to Elio as saying that if Elio is a person who was once alive and now he's walking around amongst us, you know, who's to say that there can't be another person, that they're false Messiah, that they're claiming? What's the difference? So the Abarbanel said, you know what? It never happened. So just to explain the background of where he was coming from, but the opinion of the Abarbanel is unbelievable, because then you have to figure out exactly what's going to be, and you have to deal with all the Gemaras, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph and Brachas, and all the Gemaras that says that there was a conversation with Elio Anavi and Rabbanon. How exactly that worked, it's unbelievable, and you could probably write a whole sefer trying to go through each Gemara and explaining it. That's extra credit for you guys. But again, that's just a side point. But the point is, the whole concept of Lo B'Shamayim Hi, Eliyahu HaNavi, we found now four approaches to understand how Eliyahu HaNavi works. And again, this is just a little bit of a background to the sugya. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll be zaycha very soon to have Teiku, Tishbi, Yitaris, Kushi, Yosebayis, Eliyahu HaNavi will come and he'll, and however it'll work, doesn't matter. He'll figure it out, whether it's the first three approaches, the fourth approach. He'll avoid the Lo B'Shamayim Hi discussions. Be'ezus Hashem will be zaycha to see Eliyahu HaNavi come and he'll answer all akashas, and he'll bring Mashiach Tzakenu, B'mehev Yemenu, Amen.